So the big question is this: how can fitness entrepreneurs like us who are building our own brand, our own wealth, and our own legacies, how do we run a streamlined business that doesn't need us there 24/7 and yet still double or more the number of sales we're making without additional market spend? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Trevor Bucherri. I'm an entrepreneur, multi-7-figure gym owner, business coach, speaker, husband, and father. And welcome to Gym Profit Rocket. Let's do this. What's up, gym owners, and welcome to the Gym Profit Rocket podcast. My name is Trev Bucherri. I'm the gym owner's coach here with my beautiful wife, Laura Bucherri. And we're ready to rock about some team management today.
Let's do it.
All right. Man, I am starving today, by the way.
Are you?
First things first. So we've been intermittent fasting. We've been doing intermittent fasting for well over
seven months.
Yeah.
So you've been doing it longer than me. Yeah.
Totally. And some of those days, you just start revving. So I'm just kind of downing coffee and downing water and just getting ready to get into it here.
Let me know if you feel like you're going to pass out and I'll get you some food.
You
okay.
Can just flick me with some air and fan me a little bit.
Smell
you know.
Yourself.
Yeah. So team management, man, you know, it's interesting because, and you know this from when I started the business here, and I can really say this about entrepreneurs because I know hundreds of them, we tend to hoard everything. We tend to want to micromanage and do everything ourselves because, again, if you can't get it done by having someone else do it yourself and it's going to be done right. However that saying goes, is really just a lot of people's standpoints. But in terms of trying to grow a business, it's just not doable.
Yeah. You're a hoarder of information.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and I don't think it's bad to hoard, say, one particular area, but if you're like, I'm going to try to take this entire business and be a one-man show forever and then try to be amazing at each aspect of it, it's just not going to happen. There's going to be balls that are dropped.
You've done that before.
Absolutely.
That's kind of how you started out.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah, I started off doing every single thing. I was the admin. I was the trainer. I was this manager. I was the salesperson. I was the marketer, which, you know, many people that are probably listening and watching have done the exact same thing. But we get to a point, and in fact, I did that up to 120 clients, but I was dropping the ball. I was dropping the ball, and I recognized that the quality of things were just not the way that I wanted them to be, that I desired them to be.
You can't do everything. You just can't.
Exactly. And hence delegation. You know, delegation is a very, very, it's an art. Delegation is an art, but it's a necessary thing, especially when we're looking to explode the growth of any company, quite frankly. And that really brings me to my first point is just roles and responsibilities with clear and detailed points. And I'm talking as much detail as you possibly can, but in a simple format. And I really feel that checklists, I read a great book called The Checklist Manifesto, and it changed everything for me. And it was really about, it actually was relating to the airline industry and how every single process that they have, even from like, you know, adjusting the flaps, putting the landing gear down, each one of those things had a checklist.
And with that industry, you kind of have to, or it could mean, you know, life or death.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're lucky that ours isn't as, you know.
Exactly.
Crazy as that.
Right. But it was still like, oh, wow. Okay. That was really interesting.
Because
it's almost like you look at, it was a big breakthrough for me because I'm like, oh, well, you know, here's how you do this entire process, let's just say. How do I put that into a checklist? But they broke it down into, no. Each step is its own checklist, which was kind of interesting. So you can take that for what you will. And in our industry, we are able to put entire processes into one checklist. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can't. Sometimes we do have to break it down. But that whole idea of a checklist, and when we're actually creating a role and responsibilities for different positions in our company, say sales director or sales manager or marketing director or admin or whatever it may be, having that checklist with the clear defined roles and responsibilities with detail is 100% necessary.
That is such an important point because I'm having a memory as you're saying this of years ago, you talking to me about maybe an employee who you might have been frustrated with and you were saying, well, you know, they're not doing this and this and this. And I said, well, what's their role? And you're like, I don't know. Like, they're supposed to just be doing this and this. And I'm like, well, did you tell them that? You're like, well, no. I'm like, well, then how do they know that? Right? You know? So I think you've learned along the way with that whole thing.
Yeah, and I think we like to assume as entrepreneurs. We like to assume that people just know.
Yes.
And they don't, you know. And I mean, truly in situations like that, it's our own insecurities that are coming out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's just kind of my own, like, they should just know. You know what I mean?
I always tell you, bring yourself down a little bit. Like, and I don't mean dumb yourself down. I just mean, like, bring it down. Because you're always thinking. You have so much information going on in your head. And you can't expect everybody else to know what you're thinking.
Right. You know, so what we've done and what's really worked well for us and what I really suggest you look into is not only having the clear roles and responsibility with details on a checklist, but then also having corresponding videos, which will actually show, you know, so if it's one role is responsible for task number 1, 2, 3, and 4 every single day of the week, let's just say, there should then be a corresponding video that shows you how to do 1, 2, 3, and 4 Because if we're trying to actually train someone, let's just say, and it's us training them every single time, what if we're jammed for time? What if we're rushed? What if we have to delegate that to someone else down the road because we're too crammed with our own stuff? And then the entire process gets dummied down, you know, kind of to say what you said, and then it's not as good.
It's almost like telephone.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Like literally exactly. That game telephone.
Yep. Is that where you
say one thing clearly?
Right.
Yeah, and then it kind of gets, it totally changes once it gets around.
100% that. 100% that. So if we have these expectations of greatness and we want these systems of grandeur, you know, to make sure that and consistency throughout, the only way to really do this is to almost create a training system through checklists and digital, in my opinion, really just through a lot of error to make sure that you have that consistency so that myself or someone who is very, very capable and who I know has these systems down to a T is making them in detail to make sure that if something's being missed, now it's just like, you know, hey, make sure you go back and watch this video. Yeah, exactly. You know, every single time.
So what's an example of a system that you might put on a video for somebody?
So we've actually created an entire curriculum for our trainers. So literally from day one through graduation, we have the entire thing done in checklists and videos. Literally the
entire
thing.
So what's like a specific thing? It would literally be like, this is how you go on the floor. You say good morning. You like it's literally
every single thing. It's that much detail. It's that much detail. And it took us a while to do it, but now it's done. I mean that's the beautiful thing about it. It takes months to do it to do it the right way. But now it's like, well, I was doing it the wrong way for years. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it was like, why are they not doing a great job? Why are they not doing a great job? And now I know. But now we have that consistency, and we have people going through the exact same thing, and it's creating more predictable results, you know. And it's also easy to see if we have the right or the wrong person right away, because I know the curriculum that they're getting. Before, I was like, oh man, I don't know, maybe we're just teaching them horribly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But an example, like you said, is that much detail. Hey, here's how to do hands-on corrections and hands-on positive reinforcement. Mm-hmm. I know that's in the curriculum. And I'll tell you, there's not many, you know, company and people who really do that out there consistently. It's almost like, yeah, the owner is the best and the owner does that. But the whole idea of our goal is to create 80 to 85% of what we can do and replicate that in our team. And the only way we can do that is to have all the detail in a pinpoint method to where, again, if they're missing something, we can shoot them back to that one particular area and they can study up on it.
So it's like you're creating little U's, like the way you'd want to do it. 100%. You're basically like training 100%. All of them to do that.
Absolutely. And I think we as entrepreneurs, we love what we do. We love our ideas and we're married to them so much. That's really what all of us desire, is to replicate ourselves. I mean, I can't even tell you how many people I've heard, and I've said it myself, man, I wish I could clone myself. You know what I mean?
If
we could all clone ourselves, there'd be no problems here. And I really feel that this is the closest way that we can do this. And also give them the autonomy to be themselves within the structure of that. You know what I mean?
It's definitely.
You know, you don't have to say the exact
words.
You're not a robot.
Yeah, you can be yourself, but just follow these guidelines.
Exactly.
So what's the process that you might do to make the video? Like, would you make a list of every single thing? Yeah, baby monitor. Would you write down every single thing a trainer has to do and then, like, how would you put it in a video?
It's literally like, what does you know, a shift look like from start to finish, let's just say, and what are all the roles and responsibilities inside of that? And then more or less just continuing to break it down and break it down and break it down and break it down, and then get very specific for what they're going to be doing during that particular time.
And then you just film. Do you film yourself talking?
Yeah, it's literally just a matter. We actually did a lot of live material with the specific skill sets. You know what I mean? So when we were talking about, say, I'm just using hands-on positive reinforcement and hands-on correction that a trainer would do, we literally had a film crew there doing it. That's how we did it.
That's awesome.
But again, you can do it with your iPhone. I mean, you could literally do it with your iPhone on a tripod and know that you're concentrating on a specific area, and you can go out and model that and model that and model that and model that. And then, you know, you can just cut it and you can edit it and make sure you're good to go that way.
I feel like there's such a difference, too, in learning with just reading something on a piece of paper and actually seeing it modeled in front of your face.
Absolutely.
You can actually kind of engrave that in your mind.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time. Big time. So it's worked really well for us, and it's changed. It's honestly changed everything we've done. And once we actually saw how well it worked, we did that for all of our other positions. We did that for our, we call them CES, Customer Experience Specialist, but that's our admin position. We've done that for sales management. We've done that for every single position that we have.
And
so now it's replicable.
Huge
right
difference.
Away.
Yeah,
huge difference.
That's awesome.
And the next thing I want to really talk about is chain of command. You know, so when we're talking about, we have these positions here, all these positions in our company, we also need to have a fixed chain of command in terms of people need to know where to go. You know, if they have a particular problem or if they have any type of issue that they need to get solved or even something to celebrate or a concern or a question. Otherwise, they're going to come to you. You know what I mean? If we have a team, they're going to come to you. You know, if we have multiple, say you have five people on your team, having a chain of command is absolutely necessary so that, hey, if you have a question about sales, go to this person. If you have a question about marketing, go to this person. A question about, operations, go to this particular person or whatever department. Departments that you have is very, very crucial, and it's made a huge difference for us.
Yeah. What? How would you kind of start that process?
You know, honestly, just making an org chart, you know, an organization chart in terms of this person's in charge of sales. Here's our head salesperson. This person's in charge of marketing. So if you have any sales questions, you go to person A. Mm-hmm. If you have any marketing questions, you go to person B. You know what I mean? And really just then after you've made that org chart of everyone, you can then just actually communicate that with your team and literally say, hey, if you have any sales questions, this person's responsible.
Right,
marketing,
right.
This person's responsible, and so on and so forth. And that way everyone knows the expectations. Because again, if you just shoot it out and say, hey, everyone, here's our org chart without explaining it, then there's confusion. And making sure that, again, when you have that meeting, you're say, any questions? Anyone have any questions about this? Is there any understanding? So, you know, and obviously it takes a minute to wheel it all out, but it's worked really well for us.
Those top tier people of each category, would you expect them then to come to you with questions and concerns?
100%. Yep. And I'm glad you mentioned that too, because that's basically how it wheels out. You know, so this person's in charge of sales. Any questions here? Go to that person. This person's in charge of marketing. Any questions? Go to that particular person. But if they can't handle it, then they come to me or the owner or whoever, you know, directly. They always have a place to go. And that's almost kind of on the back end. And in fact, we wouldn't even explain that to the team. We only explain it to that particular person because the team doesn't need to know that.
Right.
Otherwise, the team is going to, in some instances, overthrow that person and go directly to you because they're like, well, if there's a problem, you know, and they almost kind of try to figure it out themselves.
Right.
So,
right.
But that's a great point. That's a great point. Of course, we're always in charge of everything. We're always, you know, overall responsible for everything that's happening in the company.
Yeah.
And also, it's like if they have an issue, we want them to come to us because we're problem solvers, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So that brings to the next step here is communication, team communication. And, you know, we've been using an app called Voxer, you know, for a long time with that. And it's worked out so well for us because we need to give a platform for our people to be able to ask questions or, you know, voice any concerns or whatnot, or else we're kind of failing ourselves. And there's one out there called WhatsApp that's really similar. And we actually started using Voxer personally before I brought it into the business. And it's basically, it's a walkie-talkie app. So it's something that you could, you can text like a normal, you know, texting app. At the same time, you can actually vocalize and say, you know, hey, hon, you know, I'll be home at this time for dinner, or whatever the heck it is, you know, that
awesome.
You want to do.
We love it.
But you can also speed things up. You know, so if you're having a conversation with a team member, let's just say, And, you know, it's a 5-minute message, let's just say. Mm-hmm. And you're like, come on, come on, I want to get to the point. I mean, that's how I am. I like bottom line. Yeah. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, I can do it 2, 3, 4 times speed. And then if I need to rewind it to get that detail, I can, you know, mm-hmm. and it's right there.
It helps you be more efficient for sure.
Oh my gosh, so much.
Yeah.
Well, even for the team members as well, it's like, right. I gotta call Laura to ask her about this particular question, as opposed to like, hey, Laura, here's this question. You know, let me know what your thoughts are on this. And then you can communicate in your own time. And it's basically, it's complete efficiency.
I feel like everything in the business changed when you got Voxer.
Yeah.
Like it really like sped things up.
It's been huge. And it's basically just like any other, you know, you can create conversations. So we do have like departmental conversations. In fact, mm-hmm. we actually have several departmental conversations, and we also actually have location conversations as well, where we have like location one, and everyone mm-hmm. on that particular team is inside that Voxer mm-hmm. conversation. So if there's any announcements at that location, everyone gets it. And then, you know, we have that for each of our locations. But then we also have a marketing one where everyone on the marketing team is involved right. there. So I can ask questions or they can ask questions to me, and we can communicate and collaborate together literally through that. And once we get to a point where it's like, man, we're going to need more discussion on that particular topic, mm-hmm. then we schedule a meeting, you know, and it's really just become, you know, on that particular area that we can really then dig into and mastermind on. It's just become awesome. It's just awesome.
And then you have one Voxer conversation with the whole entire team, right? The
yes.
whole company.
Yes, we do. We
like
have a company.
And stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Any important announcements or things coming up, or, mm-hmm. hey, just wanted to give everyone, you know, a heads up on this, or last minute thing that came up, or whatever it
right.
may be. It's just been a game changer for us.
Yeah, if anybody doesn't know about Voxer, like, you need to get it.
Hammer that.
They will change everything for you. Yeah.
You know, and then we talked about meetings. You know, I think weekly meetings are another great thing for team management, just making mm-hmm. sure that we're keeping everyone in check, holding everyone accountable, and just making sure that everything is all good. It's like, I mean, a great meeting structure, and this isn't necessarily the detail that we have, but it's like, what's going well, what's not going well, problem solve on the things that aren't really going well, mm-hmm. and then take that information and say, how can we get better moving forward? I mean, even just those three particular subject matters are going to be huge clarifying, structure and company builders if it's mm-hmm. not being done, you know, at this
And then do
point.
You recommend to these managers to have their own specific team meetings?
Yeah, so this is interesting as well. So yes, you know, I mean, I think there's really, you know, I guess several different viewpoints on, you know, how many meetings are too much, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it really comes down to, well, how efficiently can you communicate as a team? You know, we've honed ours down. We had a lot of meetings to begin with, and we've mm-hmm. backed off to the ones that we feel are the most impactful
right.
at that particular time. So we actually do have, you know, each of our locations do have a team meeting each week, and it's mainly just to keep on the same page.
Right.
Yeah, and it really is that actual format. That's their format, is what's going well, what's not that we need to actually problem solve on.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's just say there's 8 problems, you know, for example. What they do is then they say, okay, let's pick the top 3 that are gonna give us the greatest return mm-hmm. for our investment of time. And then they hammer through, get a resolution for those 3, and then they say, great, what's our focus of the week moving forward? And that's pretty much
yeah,
the structure
simple.
Of their meeting. It's very, very
great.
Simple.
Yeah.
But then we have departmental meetings each week. So we have you know, one for a sales meeting we have each week. We have an operations meeting each week. And then I have a meeting with the heads of all department mm-hmm. each week as well. And that's more like visionary aspect of where we're going as a company. Here's mm-hmm. our big picture goals that we're working on.
Okay.
How is our progress coming with those particular goals? And it just keeps everyone in check
100%. Yeah.
So it's not like anyone's sitting there being like, what are we doing? You know, where are we going? What's
yeah,
our focus?
Yeah, giving them direction, keeping the flow.
Yes. And, you know, honestly, these things can tail on forever because people start spewing out ideas and
mm-hmm.
so on and so forth. So 45 minutes to an hour tops and have a hard cutoff is really what I suggest.
And keeping a format.
Yes. Having a structured
format
and honestly timing it out. Timing
mm-hmm.
it out on a timer. And when it's time to move on to the next section, great. You know, but and the first couple times it'll be frustrating because someone will be in like the middle of something.
Right.
The timer will go off and you move on. You know, and it's basically,
yeah.
you know, and I know you're kind of like, ugh. And everyone kind of feels like that to begin with, but then it just becomes the expectation. And I explained it when it first happened. I'd be like, guys, I know it's really, really, you know, different here, you know, and it might feel a little bit abrasive, you know, that I kind of stopped someone abruptly like that. But the whole cause is I'm respecting your time. I want to keep you for 45 minutes. That's all I said I was going to keep you for.
Yeah.
And over time, we're going to be able to fit into this confines and learn the expectation. And we have. It took like after the second meeting, it was good. You know, it
really?
Was good after that. Yeah.
I think that's really great advice.
Yeah.
Because maybe a lot of people wouldn't think to do that. They would just let the person keep on going, and then you could run on for over an hour, and then
I was that guy.
You were wait, which guy?
The one
that kept talking.
That too, I'm sure. But that just, you know, allowed meetings to extend way too long,
giving everybody the floor for as long as they want.
And then you tell everyone we're going to be meeting until 1:30, and here it is 2:00, and you're still there, and everyone's like, oh. You know, looking at their.
I do remember
that
when you have the Monday meetings, and I ran an hour over today. It ran an hour, And everybody's day's thrown off from that.
Yeah, and that's frustrating to everyone as well. You know, so it's really just the respect, you know, factor is how you can really explain it to people. I know it's frustrating. I respect your time. You know, we all have things to do. I want to make sure that this is an expectation. You know, and it really worked very well. Very well.
That's great advice.
And the last thing I want to end with is autonomy. You know, just really talking about, you know, because there's a lot of discussion about autonomy. Give your team autonomy and don't micromanage. You know what I mean? And I think that's huge. And I completely agree with it. And I've failed at it many, many times trying to get to it, because it's like a lot of us, again, you know, going back to the beginning when we talked about as entrepreneurs, we try to do everything. We try to hoard it all and do it all because we feel like if you want it done right, you do it yourself.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Of course, yeah.
But at the same time, then there's like autonomy and lack of micromanage, because no one wants to be micromanaged.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer for that, which I've found that's worked, it's changed everything, you know, for our internal structure, is structure. You know, structure is the only way to actually give autonomy. It's like, if you just give autonomy and there is no structure, you end up with chaos.
Right.
If you have structure and then you say, you know, here's exactly how something needs to be done, go ahead and do it, and then, and, you know, and then you're good to go. You can kind of just let go and lean back and kind of let them do their work inside of that structure.
Mm-hmm.
And then the important thing on top of that is then accountability. You know, so then there needs to be checking in to make sure that structure is being followed. And as long as that structure is followed, you're good and they're good. Make sense?
Yeah, that totally makes sense to me. Yeah, I think that's great.
Totally. And it's like this too. If you create a structure and then I go, okay, hon, here you go. Here's the job. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, I get it. And then I let you go. And let's just say I never check in again. What's the problem with that?
I don't even know if I'm doing it right.
There you go.
No one's telling me.
And I don't know if you're doing it right either, you know,
exactly.
Quite frankly. So that's that accountability. And it doesn't have to be too frequent, but even like weekly check-ins and some type of metrics where you can actually tell, was this done, was that done, was this done, was that done? And really what we've found again is back to the checklists. It's the checklists, you know. So how we actually do accountability in many cases with several roles is we have daily checklists that are checked off and shot over in a Voxer, so that person who's in charge of that particular department can say, okay, that person's good to go, check. And then if anything comes up in those particular areas, let's just say that we find out later have not been done, but they were checked off, then we have a problem. You know what I mean? So it really is like a checks and balances that actually happens naturally with that.
So it's kind of like a lot of work up front to create these systems for less work on the back end.
100%. And that enables autonomy with your team and a lot happier of a team.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day.
And you, I'm sure.
Oh, 100%. Because
you don't have to worry about as much.
Yeah, and we don't like to micromanage, you know, to a point where it's frustrating to us. You know, but at the end of the day, we're all here.
You don't have time.
Well, right.
Honestly.
Right, exactly. And it's like we have bigger picture things that we're working on, visionary stuff that we're working on. And if our team needs to be managed by us continuously and we keep having to pick up and go back and redo, it's very frustrating. And it also knocks you out of your zone as
well. Oh, I'm sure. So. Yeah, that's great advice.
So, man, there it is, team management. I hope you got a ton out of this today. That was awesome. I appreciate you being here and cranking through that with us.
And
we'll catch you guys next time. So thanks again so much for your time. You guys have an incredible rest of your day. Take care. For more awesome content and big announcements, connect with me on social media at Trevor Bucherri. And be sure to check out gymfollowupsecrets.com, where you can get your free download of my 23 missed money-making opportunities for gyms. Again, that's gymfollowupsecrets.com. Have the best day today and get after it.